the 8th of December. Lay long in bed and then up and to the office, where we sat all the morning. And among other things, my Lord Berkeley called in question his clerk, Mr. Davies, for something which Sir William Batten and I did tell him yesterday, but I endeavoured to make the least of it, and so all was put up. At noon to the change, and among other businesses did discourse with Captain Taylor, and I think I shall safely get £20 by his ship's freight at present, besides what it may be I may get hereafter. So home to dinner, and thence by coach to Whitehall, where a great while walked with my Lord Tiviot, who I find a most careful, thoughtful, and cunning man, as I also ever took him to be. He is this day bringing in an account, where he makes the king debtor to him £10,000 already on the garrison of Tangier account, but yet demands not ready money to pay it, but offers such ways of paying it out, of the sale of old decayed provisions, as will enrich him finely. Anon came my Lord Sandwich, and then we fell to our business at the committee about my Lord Tiviot's accounts, wherein I took occasion to speak now and then, so as my Lord Sandwich did well seem to like of it. And after we were up, did bid me good night in a tone that methinks he is not so displeased with me as I did doubt he is. However, I will take a course to know whether he be or no. The committee done, I took coach and home to my office, and there late and so to supper at home and to bed, being doubtful of my pain, through the very cold weather which we have, but I will take all the care I can to prevent it. The 9th of December. Lay very long in bed today for fear of my pain, and then rise and went to stool, after my wife's way, who by all means would have me sit long and upright. Very well, and being ready to the office from whence I was called by and by to my wife, she not being well. So to her, and find her in great pain of those. So by and by to my office again, and then abroad to look out a cradle to burn charcoal in my office, and I found one to my mind in Newgate Market. And so meeting Foley's man in the street, I spoke to him to serve it into the office for the king. So home to dinner, and after talk with my wife, she in bed and pain all day. I to my office most of the evening, and then home to my wife. This day Mistress Russell did give my wife a very fine St. George in alabaster, which will set out my wife's closet mightily. This evening in the office, after I'd wrote my day's passages, there came to me my cousin Anger of Cambridge, poor man, making his moan, and obtained of me that I would send his son to sea as a reformado, which I will take care to do. But to see how apt every man is to forget friendship in time of adversity. How glad was I when he was gone, for fear he should ask me to be bond for him, or to borrow money of me. The 10th of December. Up pretty well, the weather being become pretty warm again, and to the office where we sat all the morning, and I confess, having received so lately a token from Mistress Russell, I did find myself concerned for our not buying some tallow of her, which she bought on purpose yesterday most unadvisedly, to her great loss, upon confidence of putting it off to us. So hard it is for a man not to be warped against his duty and master's interest that receives any bribe or present, though not as a bribe, from anybody else. But she must be contented, and I, to do her a good turn when I can, without wrong to the king's service. Then home to dinner, and did drink a glass of wine and beer, the more for joy that this is the shortest day in the year, which is a pleasant consideration, with my wife, she in bed but pretty well, and having a messenger from my brother that he is not well, nor stirs out of door, I went forth to see him, and found him below, he hath not been well, but is not ill. I found him taking order of the distribution of Mistress Ramsay's coals, a thing my father for many years did, and now he after him, which I was glad to see, as also to hear that Mr. Wheatley begins to look after him. I hope it is about his daughter. Thence to St. Paul's Churchyard, to my bookseller's, and having gained this day in the office by my stationer's bill to the king, about 40 shillings or £3, I did here sit 2 or 3 hours, calling for 20 books to lay this money out upon, and found myself at a great loss where to choose, and do see how my nature would gladly return to the laying out of money in this trade. I could not tell whether to lay out my money for books of pleasure, as plays, which my nature was most earnest in, but at last, after seeing Chaucer, Dugdale's History of Paul's, Stowe's London, Gesner's History of Trent, besides Shakespeare, Johnson, and Beaumont's plays, I at last chose Dr. Fuller's Worthies, The Kabbalah or Collections of Letters of State, and a little book, Delices de Hollande, with another little book or two, all of good use or serious pleasure, and Hudibras, both parts, the book now in greatest fashion for drollery, though I cannot, I confess, see enough where the wit lies. My mind being thus settled, I went by link home, and so to my office, and to read in Rushworth, and so home to supper and to bed. Calling at Wotton, my shoemaker's, today, he tells me that Sir Henry Wright is dying, and that Harris is come to the Duke's house again, and of a rare play to be acted this week of Sir William Davenant's, The Story of Henry the Eighth with All His Wives. The 11th of December. Up and abroad toward the wardrobe, and going out Mr. Clark met me to tell me that Field hath a writ against me in this last business, of £30 10s, and that he believes he will get an execution against me this morning. And though he told me it could not be well before noon, and that he would stop it at the sheriff's, yet it is hard to believe with what fear I did walk, and how I did doubt at every man I saw, and do start at the hearing of one man cough behind my neck. I to the wardrobe, and there missed Mr. Moore, so to Mr. Holden's, and evened all reckonings there for hats, and then walked to Paul's churchyard, and after a little at my bookseller's, and bought at a shop Cardinal Mazarin's will in French. I to the coffee-house, and there, among others, had good discourse with an iron merchant, who tells me the great evil of discouraging our natural manufacturer of England in that commodity by suffering the Swede to bring in 3 times more than ever they did, and our own ironworks be lost, as almost half of them, he says, are already. Eastland stories. Then I went and sat by Mr. Harrington and some East Country merchants, and talking of the country about Queensborough and thereabouts, he told us himself that for fish, none there but the poorest body will buy a dead fish, but must be alive, unless it be in winter, and then they told us the manner of putting their nets into the water through holes made in the thick ice. They will spread a net of 1/2 mile long, and he hath known 130 and 170 barrels of fish taken at one draught, and then the people comes with sledges upon the ice, with snow at the bottom, and lay the fish in and cover them with snow, and so carry them to market. And he hath seen when the said fish have been frozen in the sled, so as that he hath taken a fish and broke a pieces, so hard it hath been, and yet the same fishes taken out of the snow and brought into a hot room will be alive and leap up and down. Swallow often are brought up in their nets out of the mud from under water, hanging together to some twig or other, dead in ropes, and brought to the fire will come to life. Fowl killed in December, Alderman Barker said he did buy, and putting it into the box under his sled, did forget to take them out to eat till April next, and they then were found there and were, through the frost, as sweet and fresh and ate as well as at first killed. Young bears are there, their flesh sold in market as ordinarily as beef here, and is excellent sweet meat. They tell us that bears there do never hurt anybody, but fly away from you unless you pursue, and set upon them, but wolves do much mischief. Mr. Harrington told us how they do to get so much honey as they send abroad. They make hollow a great fir tree, leaving only a small slit down straight in one place, and this they close up again, only leave a little hole, and there the bees go in, and fill the bodies of these trees as full of wax and honey as they can hold. And the inhabitants at their times go and open that slit, and take what they please, without killing the bees, and so let them live there still and make more. Fir trees are always planted close together, because of keeping one another from the violence of the winds, and when a fillet is made, they leave here and there a grown tree to preserve the young ones coming up. The great entertainment and sport of the Duke of Courland and the princes thereabouts is hunting, which is not with dogs as we, but he appoints such a day and summons all the country people as to a campagna, and by several companies gives every one their circuit, and they agree upon a place where the toil is to be set. And so, making fires every company as they go, they drive all the wild beast, whether bears, wolf, foxes, swine, and stags, and roes, into the toil, and there the great men have their stands in such and such places, and shoot at what they have a mind to, and that is their hunting. They are not very populous there, by reason that people marry, women seldom till they are towards or above 30, and men 30 or 40, or more, oftentimes, year old. Against a public hunting, the Duke sends that no wolves be killed by the people, and whatever harm they do, the Duke makes it good to the person that suffers it, as Mr. Harrington instanced in a house where he lodged, where a wolf broke into a hog's sty, and bit 3 or 4 great pieces off the back of the hog, before the house could come to help it, it crying, and that did give notice to the people of the house. And the man of the house told him that there was 3 or 4 wolves thereabouts that did them great hurt, but it was no matter, for the Duke was to make it good to him, otherwise he could kill them. Thence, home and upstairs, my wife keeping her bed, and had a very good dinner, and after dinner to my office, and there till late busy. Among other things, Captain Taylor came to me about his bill for freight, and besides that I find him contented that I have the £30 I got, he doth offer me to give me £6 to take the getting of the bill paid upon me, which I am ready to do, but I am loath to have it said that I ever did it. However, I will do him that service, to get it paid if I can, and stand to his courtesy what he will give me. Late to supper home, and to my great joy I have my wife's good advice almost brought myself, by going often and leisurely to the stool, that I am come almost to have my natural course of stool as well as ever, which I pray God continue to me. The 12th of December. Up and to the office where all the morning, and among other things, got Sir George Carteret to put his letters to Captain Taylor's bill, by which I am in hopes to get £5, which joys my heart. We had this morning a great dispute between Mr. Gordon, victualler of the Navy, and Sir John Lawson and the rest of the commanders going out against Algier, about their fish and keeping of Lent, which Mr. Gordon so much insists upon to have it observed, as being the only thing that makes up the loss of his dear bargain all the rest of the year. At noon went home, and there I find that one Abrahall, who strikes in for the serving of the king with ship-chandlery wear, hath sent my wife a Japan gown, which pleases her very well, and me also, it coming very opportune. But I know not how to carry myself to him, I being already obliged so far to Mistress Russell, so that I am in both their pays. To the exchange, where I had sent Llewellyn word that I would come to him, and thence brought him home to dinner with me. He tells me that William Simons's wife is dead, for which I am sorry, she being a good woman, and tells me an odd story of her saying before her death, being in good sense, that there stood her uncle Scobel. Then he began to tell me that Mr. Deering had been with him to desire him to speak to me, that if I would get him off with those goods upon his hands, he would give me 50 pieces, and further, that if I would stand his friend, to help him to the benefit of his patent as the king's merchant, he could spare me £200 per annum out of his profits. I was glad to hear both of these, but answered him no further than that, as I would not by anything be bribed to be unjust in my dealings, so I was not so squeamish as not to take people's acknowledgment, where I have the good fortune by my pains to do them good and just offices. And so I would not come to be at an agreement with him, but I would labour to do him this service, and to expect his consideration thereof afterward, as he thought fit. So I expect to hear more of it. I did make very much of Llewellyn, in hopes to have some good by this business, and after he was gone, I to my office doing business, and in the evening received some money from Mr. Moore, and so went and settled accounts in my books between him and me. And I do hope at Christmas not only to find myself as rich or more than ever I was yet, but also my accounts in less compass, fewer reckonings, either of debts or monies due to me, than I have ever seen for some years. And indeed do so, the goodness of God bringing me from better to a better expectation, and hopes of doing well. This day I heard my Lord Berkeley tell Sir George Carteret that he hath letters from France that the king hath unduked 12 dukes, only to show his power and to crush his nobility, whom, he said, he did see had heretofore laboured to cross him. And this my Lord Berkeley did mightily magnify as a sign of a brave and vigorous mind, that what he sees fit to be done, he dares do. At night, after business done at my office, home to supper and to bed. I have forgot to set down a very remarkable passage, that Llewellyn, being gone, and I going into the office, and it begin to be dark, I found nobody there, my clerks being at a burial of a child of Will Griffin's. And so I spent a little time till they came walking in the garden. And in the meantime, while I was walking, Mistress Penn's pretty maid came by my side, and went into the office. But finding nobody there, I went in to her, being glad of the occasion. She told me, as she was going out again, that there was nobody there, and that she came for a sheet of paper. So I told her I would supply her, and left her in the office, and went into my office and opened my garden door, thinking to have got her in, and there to have caressed her. And seeming looking for paper, I told her this was as near a way for her, but she told me she had left the door open, and so did not come to me. So I carried her some paper, and kissed her, leading her by the hand to the garden door, and there let her go. But, Lord, to see how much I was put out of order by this surprisal, and how much I could have subjected my mind to have treated and been fond with this wench, and how afterward I was troubled to think what if she should tell this, and indeed I had spoke or done anything that might be unfit for her to tell. But I think there was nothing more past than just what I here write. The 13th of December, Lord's Day. Up and made me ready for church, but my wife and I had a difference about her old folly that she would fasten lies upon her maids, and now upon Jane, which I did not see enough to confirm me in it, and so would not consent to her. To church, where after sermon, home and to my office, before dinner, reading my vows, and so home to dinner, where Tom came to me, and he and I dined together, my wife not rising all day. And after dinner I made even accounts with him, and spent all the afternoon in my chamber talking of many things with him, about Wheatley's daughter for a wife for him, and then about the Joyces and their father Fenner, how they are sometimes all honey with one another, and then all turd, and a strange rude life there is among them. In the evening, he gone, I to my office to read Rushworth upon the charge and answer of the Duke of Buckingham, which is very fine, and then to do a little business against tomorrow, and so home to supper to my wife, and then to bed. The 14th of December. Up by candlelight, which I do not use to do, though it be very late, that is to say almost 8 o'clock, and out by coach to Whitehall, where we all met, and to the Duke, where I heard a large discourse between one that goes over an agent from the King to Leghorn and thereabouts to remove the inconveniences his ships are put to by denial of pratique, which is a thing that is nowadays made use of only as a cheat, for a man may buy a bill of health for a piece of 8, and my enemy may agree with the intendant of the Santé for 10 pieces of 8 or so, that he shall not give me a bill of health, and so spoil me in my design, whatever it be. This the king will not endure, and so resolves either to have it removed, or to keep all ships from coming in or going out there, so long as his ships are stayed for want hereof. Then, my Lord Sandwich being there, we all went into the Duke's closet and did our business. But among other things, Lord, what an account did Sir John Minnis and Sir William Batten make of the pulling down and burning of the head of the Charles, where Cromwell was placed with people under his horse, and Peter, as the Duke called him, praying to him. and Sir John Minnis would needs infer the temper of the people from their joy at the doing of this and their building a gibbet for the hanging of his head up, when God knows it is even the flinging away of £100 out of the king's purse to the building of another, which, it seems, must be a Neptune. Thence I through Whitehall, only to see what was doing, but meeting none that I knew, I went through the garden to my Lord Sandwich's lodging, where I found my lord got before me, which I did not intend or expect, and was there trying some music, which he intends for an anthem of 3 parts, I know not whether for the king's chapel or no, but he seems mighty intent upon it. But it did trouble me to hear him swear before God and other oaths, as he did now and then without an occasion, which methought did so ill become him, and I hope will be a caution for me, it being so ill a thing in him. The music being done, without showing me any good or ill countenance, he did give me his hat, and so adieu, and went down to his coach without saying anything to me. He being gone, I and Will Howe talked a good while. He tells me that my lord, it is true, for a while after my letter, was displeased, and did show many slightings of me when he had occasion of mentioning me to his lordship, but that now my lord is in good temper, and he doth believe will show me as much respect as ever, and would have me not to refrain to come to him. This news, I confess, did much trouble me, but when I did hear how he is come to himself, and hath wholly left Chelsea and that slut, and that I see he doth follow his business, and becomes in better repute than before, I am rejoiced to see it, though it doth cost me some disfavour for a time. For if not his good nature and ingenuity, yet I believe his memory will not bear it alway in his mind. But it is my comfort that this is the thing, after so many years' good service, that hath made him my enemy. Thence to the King's Head Ordinary, and there dined among a company of fine gentlemen, some of them discoursed of the King of France's greatness, and how he is come to make the princes of blood to take place of all foreign ambassadors, which, it seems, is granted by them of Venice and other states, and expected from my Lord Hollis, our King's ambassador there, and that either upon that score or something else he hath not had his entry yet in Paris, but hath received several affronts, and among others his harness cut, and his gentlemen of his horse killed, which will breed bad blood, if true. They say also that he hath hired 60 ships of Holland, and 40 of the Swede, but nobody knows what to do, but some great designs he hath on foot against the next year. Thence by coach home, and to my office, where I spent all the evening till night with Captain Taylor, discoursing about keeping of masts. And when he was gone, with Sir William Warren, who did also give me excellent discourse about the same thing, which I have committed to paper. And then fell to other talk of his being at Chatham lately, and there discoursing of his masts, Commissioner Pett did let fall several scurvy words concerning my pretending to know masts as well as anybody, which I know proceeds ever since I told him I could measure a piece of timber as well as anybody employed by the King. But, however, I shall remember him for a black sheep again for a good while, with all his fair words to me, and perhaps may let him know that my ignorance does the King as much good as all his knowledge, which would do more, it is true, if it were well used. Then we fell to talk of Sir John Minnis and Sir William Batten, burning of Oliver's head while he was there, which was done with so much insulting and folly as I never heard of, and had the trained band of Rochester to come to the solemnity, when all comes to all, Commissioner Pett says it never was made for him. But it troubles me the King should suffer £100 loss in his purse to make a new one, after it was forgot whose head it was, or any word spoke of it. He being gone, and I mightily pleased with his discourse, by which I always learn something, I to read a little in Rushworth, and so home to supper to my wife, it having been washing day, and so to bed. My mind, I confess, a little troubled for my Lord Sandwich's displeasure, but God will give me patience to bear, since it rises from so good an occasion. The 15th of December. Before I was up, my brother's man came to tell me that my cousin Edward Pepys was dead, died at Mistress Turner's, for which my wife and I are very sorry, and the more for that his wife was the only handsome woman of our name. So up into the office, where the greatest business was Sir John Minnis and Sir William Batten against me for Sir William Warren's contract for masts, to which I may go to my memorandum book to see what passed, but came off with conquest and my Lord Berkeley and Mr. Coventry well convinced that we are well used. So home to dinner, and thither came to me Mr. Mount and Llewellyn, I think almost foxed, and there dined with me, and very merry as I could be, my mind being troubled to see things so ordered at the board, though with no disparagement to me at all. At dinner comes a messenger from the counter, with an execution against me for the £30 and odd shillings given the last verdict to Field. The man's name is Thomas, of the poultry counter. I sent Griffin with him to the Dolphin, where Sir William Batten was at dinner, and he being satisfied that I should pay the money, I did cause the money to be paid him, and Griffin to tell it out to him in the office. He offered to go along with me to Sir Richard Ford, but I thought it not necessary, but let him go with it. He also telling me that there is never any receipt for it given, but I have good witness of the payment of it. They being gone, Llewellyn, having again told me by myself that Deering is content to give me £50 if I can sell his deals for him to the king, not that I did ever offer to take it or bid Llewellyn bargain for me with him, but did tacitly seem to be willing to do him what service I could in it, and expect his thanks what he thought good. Then to Whitehall by coach, by the way overtaking Mr. Moore, and took him into the coach to me, and there he could tell me nothing of my lord, how he stands as to his thoughts or respect to me, but concludes that though at present he may be angry, yet he will come to be pleased again with me, no doubt, and says that he doth mind his business well, and keeps at court. So to Whitehall, and there by order find some of the commissioners of Tangier met, and my Lord Sandwich among the rest, to whom I bowed, but he showed me very little, if any, countenance at all, which troubles me mightily. Having soon done there, I took up Mr. Moore again, and set him down at Paul's. By the way, he proposed to me of a way of profit, which perhaps may shortly be made by money by fines, upon houses at the Wardrobe, but how I did not understand, but left it to another discourse. So homeward, calling upon Mr. Fenn by Sir George Carteret's desire, and did there show him the bill of Captain Taylor's, whereby I hope to get something justly. Home, and to my office, and there very late with Sir William Warren upon very serious discourse, telling him how matters passed to-day. And in the close he and I did fall to talk very openly of the business of this office, and, if I was not a little too open to tell him my interest, which is my fault, he did give me most admirable advice, and such as doth speak him a most able and worthy man, and understanding 7 times more than ever I thought to be in him. He did particularly run over every one of the officers and commanders, and showed me how I had reason to mistrust every one of them, either for their falseness or their over-great power, being too high to fasten a real friendship in. And did give me a common, but a most excellent saying to observe in all my life. He did give it in rhyme, but the sense was this, that a man should treat every friend in his discourse and opening of his mind to him, as of one that may hereafter be his foe. He did also advise me how I should take occasion to make known to the world my care and the pains that I take in my business, and above all, to be sure to get a thorough knowledge in my employment, and to that add all the interest at court that I can, which I hope I shall do. He stayed talking with me till almost 12 at night, and so good night, being sorry to part with him, and more sorry that he should have as far as Wapping to walk to-night. So I to my journal and so home, to supper and to bed. The 16th of December. Up, and with my head and heart full of my business, I to my office, and there all the morning, where, among other things, to my great content Captain Taylor brought me £40, the greater part of which I shall gain to myself, after much care and pains, out of his bill of freight, as I have at large set down in my book of memorandums. At noon to the change, and there met with Mr. Wood by design and got out of him, to my advantage, a confession which I shall make good use of against Sir William Batten. Vide my book of memorandums, touching the contract of masts of Sir William Warren's, about which I have had so much trouble. So, home to dinner, and then to the Star Tavern hard by, to our arbitration of Mr. Bland's business. And at it a great while, but I find no order like to be kept in our inquiry. Mr. Clark, the other arbitrator, one so far from being fit, though able as to his trade of a merchant, to inquire and to take pains in searching out the truth on both sides, that we parted without doing anything, nor do I believe we shall at all even attain to anything in it. Then home, until 12 at night, making up my accounts, with great account of this day's receipt of Captain Taylor's money, and some money reimbursed me, which I have laid out on Field's business. So home, with my mind in pretty good quiet, and to supper and to bed. The 17th of December. Up and to the office, where we sat all the morning. At noon, home to my poor wife, and dined, and then by coach abroad to Mistress Turner's, where I have not been many a day, and there I find her and her sister Dyke very sad for the death of their brother. After a little common expression of sorrow, Mistress Turner told me that the trouble she would put me to was to consult about getting an achievement prepared. Scutcheons were done already, to set over the door. So I did go out to Mr. Smith's, where my brother tells me the scutcheons are made, but he not being within, I went to the temple, and there spent my time in a bookseller's shop, reading in a book of some embassages into Moscovia, etc., where was very good reading. And then to Mistress Turner's, and thither came Smith to me, with whom I did agree for £4 to make a handsome one, L square within the frame. After he was gone, I sat an hour talking of the suddenness of his death, within 7 days, and how, by little and little, death came upon him, he nor they thinking it would come to that. He died after a day's raving, through lightness in his head for want of sleep. His lady did not know of his sickness, nor do they hear yet how she takes it. Thence home, taking some books by the way in Paul's churchyard, by coach and to my office, where late doing business, and so home to supper and to bed. The 18th of December. Up, and after being ready and done several businesses with people, I took water, taking a dram of the bottle at the waterside, with a galley, the first that ever I had yet, and down to Woolwich, calling at Ham Creek, where I met Mr. Dean, and had a great deal of talk with him about businesses, and so to the rope yard and dock, discoursing several things, and so back again, and did the like at Deptford. And I find that it is absolutely necessary for me to do thus once a week at least, all the year round, which will do me great good. And so home with great ease and content, especially out of the content which I met with in a book I bought yesterday, being a discourse of the state of Rome under the present Pope, Alexander the Seventh, it being a very excellent piece. After eating something at home, then to my office, where till night about business to dispatch. Among other people came Mr. Primate, the leather sale in Fleet Street, to see me, he says, coming this way. And he tells me that he is upon a proposal to the king, whereby, by a law already in being, he will supply the king without wrong to any man or charge to the people in general, so much as it is now, above £200,000 per annum, and God knows what, and that the king doth like the proposal, and hath directed that the Duke of Monmouth, with their consent, be made privy and go along with him and his fellow proposers in that business. God knows what it is, for I neither can guess nor believe there is any such thing in his head. At night, made an end of the discourse I read this morning, and so home to supper and to bed. The 19th of December. Up and to the office, where we sat all the morning, and I laboured hard at Deering's business of his deals, more than I would if I did not think to get something, though I do verily believe that I did but what is to the king's advantage in it. And yet, God knows, the expectation of profit will have its force and make a man the more earnest. Dined at home, and then with Mr. Bland to another meeting upon his arbitration, and seeing we were likely to do no good, I even put them upon it, and they chose Sir William Ryder alone to end the matter, and so I am rid of it. Thence by coach to my shoemaker's, and paid all there, and gave something to the boy's box against Christmas, and then to Mistress Turner's, whom I find busy with Sir William Turner about advising upon going down to Norfolk with the corpse, and I find him in talk a sober, considering man. So home to my office late, and then home to supper and to bed. My head full of business, but pretty good content. The 20th of December, Lord's Day. Up and alone to church, where a common sermon of Mr. Mills, and so home to dinner in our parlour, my wife being clean, and the first time we have dined here a great while together. And in the afternoon went to church with me also, and there begin to take her place above Mistress Penn, which heretofore, out of a humour, she was wont to give her as an affront to my Lady Batten. After a dull sermon of the Scotchman, home, and there I find my brother Tom and my two cousins Scots, he and she, the first time they were ever here. And by in comes my uncle White and Mr. Norbury, and they sat with us a while drinking of wine, of which I did give them plenty. But they too would not stay supper, but the other two did, and we were as merry as I could be with people that I do wish well to, but know not what discourse either to give them or find from them. We showed them our house from top to bottom, and had a good turkey roasted for our supper, and store of wine, and after supper sent them home on foot, and so we to prayers and to bed. The 21st of December. Up betimes, my wife having a mind to have gone abroad with me, but I had not, because of troubling me, and so left her, though against my will, to go to see her father and mother by herself. And I straight to my Lord Sandwich's, and there I had a pretty kind salute from my Lord, and went on to the Duke's, where my fellow officers by and by came, and so in with him to his closet, and did our business. And so broke up, and I with Sir William Batten by coach to Salisbury Court, and there spoke with Clark, our solicitor, about Field's business, and so parted, and I to Mistress Turner's, and there saw the achievement well set up, and it is well done. Thence I on foot to Charing Cross, to the Ordinary, and there dined, meeting Mr. Gordon and Creed. Here variety of talk, but to no great purpose. After dinner won a wager of a pair of gloves of a crown, of Mr. Gordon, upon some words in his contract for victualling. There parted in the street with them, and I to my Lord's, but he not being within, took coach, and being directed by sight of bills upon the walls, did go to Shoe Lane to see a cock-fighting at a new pit there, a sport I was never at in my life. But, Lord, to see the strange variety of people, from Parliament man, by name Wilds, that was deputy governor of the Tower when Robinson was Lord Mayor, to the poorest prentices, bakers, brewers, butchers, draymen, and what not, and all these fellows, one with another in swearing, cursing, and betting. I soon had enough of it, and yet I would not but have seen it once, it being strange to observe the nature of those poor creatures, how they will fight till they drop down dead upon the table, and strike after they are ready to give up the ghost, not offering to run away when they are weary or wounded past doing further. Whereas, when a dunghill brood comes, he will, after a sharp stroke that pricks him, run off the stage, and then they wring off his neck without more ado, whereas the other they preserve, though their eyes be both out, for breed only of a true cock of the game. Sometimes a cock that hath had 10 to 1 against him will by chance give an unlucky blow, will strike the other stark dead in a moment, that he never stirs more. But the common rule is that though a cock neither run nor dies, yet if any man will bet £10 to a crown, and nobody take the bet, the game is given over, and not sooner. One thing more it is strange to see, how people of this poor rank, that look as if they had not bread to put in their mouths, shall bet £3 or £4 at one bet and lose it, and yet bet as much the next battle, as they call each make of 2 cocks, so that one of them will lose £10 or £20 at a meeting. Thence, having enough of it, by coach to my Lord Sandwich's, where I find him within with Captain Cook and his boys, Dr. Child, Mr. Mage, and Mallard, playing and singing over my lord's anthem, which he hath made to sing in the king's chapel. My lord saluted me kindly, and took me into the withdrawing-room to hear it at a distance, and indeed it sounds very finely, and is a good thing, I believe, to be made by him. And they all commended. And after that was done, Captain Cook and his two boys did sing some Italian songs, which I must in a word say I think was fully the best music that I ever yet heard in all my life, and it was to me a very great pleasure to hear them. After all music ended, and my lord going to Whitehall, I went along with him and made a desire for to have his coach to go along with my cousin Edward Pepys's hearse through the city on Wednesday next, which he granted me presently, though he cannot yet come to speak to me in the familiar style that he did used to do, nor can I expect it. But I was the willinger of this occasion to see whether he would deny me or no, which he would, I believe, had he been at open defiance against me. Being not a little pleased with all this, though I yet see my lord is not right yet, I thanked his lordship, and parted with him in Whitehall. And I back to my lord's, and there took up William Howe in a coach, and carried him as far as the Half Moon, and there set him down. By the way, talking of my lord, who is come another and a better man than he was lately, and God be praised for it. And he says that I shall find my lord as he used to be to me, of which I have good hopes, but I shall beware of him, I mean Will Howe, how I trust him. For I perceive he is not so discreet as I took him for he hath told Captain Ferrers, as Mr. Moore tells me, of my letter to my lord, which troubles me, for fear my lord should think that I might have told him. So called with my coach at my wife's brother's lodging, but she was gone newly in a coach homewards, and so I drove hard, and overtook her at Temple Bar, and there paid off mine and went home with her in her coach. She tells me how there is a sad house among her friends. Her brother's wife proves very unquiet, and so her mother is gone back to be with her husband and leaves the young couple to themselves. And great trouble, and, I fear, great want will be among them. I pray keep me from being troubled with them. At home to put on my gown, and to my office, and there set down this day's journal, and by comes Mistress Owen, Captain Allen's daughter, and causes me to stay while the papers relating to her husband's place, bought of his father, be copied out, because of her going by this morning's tide home to Chatham, which vexes me, but there is no help for it. I home to supper, while a young man that she brought with her did copy out the things, and then I to the office again and dispatched her, and so home to bed. The 22nd of December. Up, and there comes my she-cousin Anger of Cambridge to me to speak about her son. But though I love them and have reason so to do, yet, Lord, to consider how cold I am to speak to her, for fear of giving her too much hopes of expecting either money or anything else from me, besides my care of her son. I let her go without drinking, though that was against my will, being forced to hasten to the office, where we sat all the morning, and at noon I to Sir Richard Ford's, where Sir Richard Brown, a dull, but it seems upon action a hot man, and he and I met upon setting a price upon the freight of a barge sent to France to the Duchess of Orleans. And here, by discourse, I find them greatly cry out against the choice of Sir John Cutler to be treasurer for Paul's, upon condition that he gives £1,500 towards it, and it seems he did give it upon condition that he might be treasurer for that work, which, they say, will be worth three times as much money, and talk as if his being chosen to that office will make people backward to give. But I think him as likely a man as either of them, or better. The business being done, we parted, Sir Richard Ford never inviting me to dine with him at all, and I was not sorry for it. Home and dined, and had a letter from Will Howe that my lord hath ordered his coach and six horses for me tomorrow, which pleases me mightily, to think that my lord should do so much, hoping thereby that his anger is a little over. After dinner abroad by coach with my wife to Westminster, and set her at Mistress Hunt's, while I about my business, having in our way met with Captain Ferrers, luckily, to speak to him about my coach, who was going in all haste, whither I perceived the King and Duke and all the court was going, to the Duke's playhouse to see Henry VIII acted, which is said to be an admirable play. But, Lord, to see how near I was to have broken my oath, or run the hazard of 20 shillings loss, so much my nature was hot to have gone thither, but I did not go. But having spoke with Will Howe also, and known how my lord did do this kindly, as I would have it, I did go to Westminster Hall, and there met Hawley, and walked a great while with him, among other discourse, encouraging him to pursue his love to Mistress Lane, while God knows I had a roguish meaning in it. Thence calling my wife, home by coach, calling at several places and to my office, where late, and so home to supper and to bed. This day I hear for certain that my Lady Castlemaine is turned Papist, which the Queen for all doth not much like, knowing that she doth it not for conscience' sake. I heard to-day of a great fray lately between Sir Henry Finch's coachman, who struck with his whip a coachman of the King's to the loss of one of his eyes, at which the people of the Exchange, seeming to laugh and make sport with some words of contempt to him, my Lord Chamberlain did come from the King to shut up the change, and by the help of a justice did it. But upon petition to the King it was opened again. The 23rd of December. Up betimes, and my wife, and being in as mourning a dress as we could at present, without cost, put ourselves into, we by Sir William Penn's coach to Mistress Turner's at Salisbury Court, where I find my lord's coach and 6 horses. We stayed till almost 11 o'clock, and much company came. And anon, the corpse being put into the hearse, and the scutcheon set upon it, we all took coach, and I and my wife, and Auditor Beale in my Lord Sandwich's coach, and went next to Mistress Turner's mourning coach, and so through all the city and Shoreditch. I believe about 20 coaches, and 4 or 5 with 6 and 4 horses. Being come thither, I made up to the mourners, and bidding them a good journey, I took leave and back again, and setting my wife into a hackney out of Bishopsgate Street, I sent her home, and I to the change, and Auditor Beale about his business. Did much business at the change, and so home to dinner, and then to my office, and there late doing business also, to my great content, to see God bless me in my place, and opening honest ways, I hope, to get a little money to lay up, and yet to live handsomely. So to supper and to bed, my wife having strange fits of the toothache, sometimes on this and by on that side of her mouth, which is not common. The 24th of December. Up betimes, and though it was a most foggy morning and cold, yet with a galley down to Erith, several times being at a loss whither we went. There I mustered 2 ships of the King's, lent by him to the Guinea Company, which are manned better than ours at far less wages. Thence on board 2 of the King's, one of them the Leopard, Captain Beach, who I find an able and serious man. He received me civilly, and his wife was there, a very well-bred and knowing woman, born at Antwerp, but speaks as good English as myself, and an ingenious woman. Here was also Sir George Carteret's son, who I find a pretty but very talking man, but good humour. Thence back again entertaining myself upon my sliding rule with great content, and called at Woolwich, where Mr. Christopher Pett, having an opportunity of being alone, did tell me his mind about several things he thought I was offended with him in, and told me of my kindness to his assistant. I did give him such an answer as I thought was fit, and left him well satisfied. He, offering to do me all the service, either by drafts or models, that I should desire. Then, straight home, being very cold, but yet well, I thank God, and at home find my wife making mince pies, and by comes in Captain Ferrers to see us, and among other talk, tells us of the goodness of the new play of Henry VIII, which makes me think long till my time is out, but I hope before I go I shall set myself such a stint as I may not forget myself, as I have hitherto done till I was forced for these months last past, wholly to forbid myself the seeing of one. He gone, I to my office, and there late, writing and reading, and so home to bed. The 25th of December. Christmas. Lay long talking pleasantly with my wife. But among other things she begin, I know not whether by design or chance, to inquire what she should do if I should, by an accident, die. To which I did give her some slight answer, but shall make good use of it to bring myself to some settlement for her sake, by making a will as soon as I can. Up and to church, where Mr. Mills made an ordinary sermon, and so home and dined with great pleasure with my wife. And all the afternoon, first looking out at window and seeing the boys playing at many several sports in our backyard by Sir William Penn's, which minded me of my own former times, and then I begin to read to my wife upon the globes, with great pleasure and to good purpose, for it will be pleasant to her and to me to have her understand those things. In the evening to the office, where I stayed late reading Rushworth, which is a most excellent collection of the beginning of the late quarrels in this kingdom, and so home to supper and to bed with good content of mind. The 26th of December. Up and walked forth first to the Minories to Brown's, and there with great pleasure saw and bespoke several instruments, and so to Cornhill to Mr. Cade's, and there went up into his warehouse to look for a map or two, and there finding great plenty of good pictures, God forgive me how my mind run upon them, and bought a little one for my wife's closet presently, and concluded presently of buying £10 worth, upon condition he would give me the buying of them. Now, it is true, I did still within me resolve to make the king one way or other pay for them, though I saved it to him another way. Yet I find myself too forward to fix upon that expense, and came away with a resolution of buying them. But do hope that I shall not, upon second thoughts, do it without a way made out, before I buy them to myself, how to do it without charge to my main stock. Thence to the coffee-house, and sat long in good discourse with some gentlemen concerning the Roman Empire. So home, and find Mr. Holyard there, and he stayed and dined with us, we having a pheasant to dinner. He gone, I all the afternoon with my wife to cards. And God forgive me to see how the very discourse of plays, which I shall be at liberty to see after New Year's Day next, doth set my mind upon them, that I must be forced to stint myself very strictly before I begin, or else I fear I shall spoil all. In the evening came my Aunt White's kinswoman to see how my wife doth, with a compliment from my aunt, which I take kindly, as it is unusual for her to do it, but I do perceive my uncle is very kind to me of late. So to my office, writing letters, and then to read and make an end of Rushworth, which I did, and do say that it is a book the best worth reading for a man of my condition, or any man that hopes to come to any public condition in the world, that I do know. So home to supper and to bed. The 27th of December. Up and to church alone, and so home to dinner with my wife, very pleasant and pleased with one another's company, and in our general enjoyment one of another, better we think than most other couples do. So after dinner to the French church, but came too late, and so back to our own church, where I slept all the sermon, the Scot preaching. And so home, and in the evening Sir John Minnis and I met at Sir William Penn about ordering some business of the Navy. And so I home to supper, discourse, prayers, and bed. The 28th of December. Up and by coach to my Lord's lodgings, but he was gone abroad, so I lost my pains. But, however, walking through Whitehall, I heard the King was gone to play at tennis, so I down to the new tennis court, and saw him and Sir Arthur Slingsby play against my Lord of Suffolk, and my Lord Chesterfield. The King beat three, and lost two sets, they all, and he particularly, playing well, I thought. Thence went and spoke with the Duke of Albemarle about his wood at Newhall, but I find him a heavy, dull man, methinks, by his answers to me. Thence to the King's Head Ordinary, and there dined, and found Creed there, but we met and dined and parted without anything more than, "How do you?" After dinner, straight on foot to Mr. Holyard's, and there paid him £3 in full for his physic, and worked to my wife about her evil below. but whether it is cured forever or no, I cannot tell. But he says it will never come to anything, though it may be it may ooze now and then a little. So home, and find my wife gone out with Will, whom she sent for, as she doth nowadays upon occasion, to have a tooth drawn, she having, it seems, been in great pain all day. And at night came home with it drawn, and pretty well. This evening I had a stove brought me to the office to try it, but it being an old one, it smokes as much as if there was nothing but a hearth, as I had before. But it may be your new ones do not, and therefore I must inquire further. So, at night, home to supper and to bed. The Duchess of York is fallen sick of the measles. The 29th of December. Up and to the office, where all the morning sitting, and at noon to the change, and there I found and brought home Mr. Pierce, the surgeon, to dinner, where I find also Mr. Llewellyn and Mount, and Mary at dinner, but their discourse so free about claps and other foul discourse that I was weary of them. But after dinner Llewellyn took me up with him to my chamber, and there he told me how Deering did intend to be as good as his word, to give me £50 for the service I did him, though not so great as he expected and I intended. But I told him that I would not sell my liberty to any man. If he would give me anything by another's hand, I would endeavour to deserve it, but I will never give him himself thanks for it, nor acknowledge the receiving of any, which, he told me, was reasonable. I did also tell him that neither this nor anything should make me to do anything that should not be for the king's service besides. So we parted, and I left them three at home with my wife going to cards, and I to my office and there stayed late. Sir William Penn came like a cunning rogue to sit and talk with me about office business, and freely about the controller's business of the office, to which I did give him free answers, and let him make the best of them. But I know him to be a knave, and do say nothing that I fear to have said again. Anon came Sir William Warren, and after talking of his business of the masts, and helping me to understand some foul dealing in the business of woods, we fell to other talk, and particularly to speak of some means how to part this great familiarity between Sir William Batten and Sir John Minnis, and it is easy to do by any good friend of Sir John Minnis, to whom it will be a good service, and he thinks that Sir John Denham will be a proper man for it, and so do I. So, after other discourse, we parted, and I home and to bed. The 30th of December. Up betimes and by coach to my Lord Sandwich, who I met going out, and he did ask me how his cousin, my wife, did, the first time he hath done so since his being offended. And in my conscience he would be glad to be free with me again, but he knows not how to begin. So he went out, and I through the garden to Mr. Coventry, where I saw Mr. Christopher Pett bring him a model, and indeed it is a pretty one, for a New Year's gift, but I think the work not better done than mine. With him by coach to London, with good and friendly discourse of business and against Sir William Batten, and his foul dealings. So, leaving him at the Guinea House, I to the coffee, whither came Mr. Grant and Sir William Petty, with whom I talked, and so did many, almost all the house there, about his new vessel, wherein he did give me much satisfaction in every point, that I am almost confident she will prove an admirable invention. So home to dinner, after been upon the change a while, and dined with my wife, who took physic today, and so to my office, and there all the afternoon till late at night, about office business, and so to supper and to bed. The 31st of December. Up and to the office, where we sat all the morning, and among other things Sir William Warren came about some contract, and there did at the open table, Sir William Batten not being there, openly defy him, and insisted how Sir William Batten did endeavour to oppose him in everything that he offered. Sir William Penn took him up for it like a counterfeit rogue, though I know he was as much pleased to hear him talk so as any man there. But upon his speaking no more was said. But to the business. At noon we broke up, and I to the change a while, and so home again to dinner, my head aching mightily with being overcharged with business. We had to dinner, my wife and I, a fine turkey and a mince pie, and dined in state, poor wretch, she and I, and have thus kept our Christmas together all alone almost, having not once been out. But tomorrow my vows are all out, as to plays and wine, but I hope I shall not be long before I come to new ones, so much good and God's blessing I find to have attended them. Thence to the office and did several businesses, and answered several people, but my head aching, and it being my great night of accounts, I went forth, took coach, and to my brother's, but he was not within, and so I back again and sat an hour or two at the coffee, hearing some simple discourse about Quakers being charmed by a string about their wrists. And so home, and after a little while at my office, I home and supped, and so had a good fire in my chamber, and there sat till 4 o'clock in the morning, making up my accounts and writing this last journal of the year. And first, I bless God I do, after a large expense, even this month by reason of Christmas and some payments to my father, and other things extraordinary, find that I am worth in money, besides all my household stuff or anything of Brampton, above £800, whereof in my Lord Sandwich's hand £700, and the rest in my hand. So that there is not above £15 of all my estate in money at this minute out of my hands and my lord's. For which the good God be pleased to give me a thankful heart and a mind careful to preserve this and increase it. I do live at my lodgings in the Navy office, my family being, besides my wife and I, Jane Gentleman, Bess, our excellent good-natured cookmaid, and Susan, a little girl, having neither man nor boy, nor like to have again a good while, living now in most perfect content and quiet, and very frugally also. My health pretty good, but only that I have been much troubled with a costiveness which I am labouring to get away, and have hopes of doing it. At the office I am well, though envied to the devil by Sir William Batten, who hates me to death, but cannot hurt me. The rest either love, or at least do not show otherwise, though I know Sir William Penn to be a false knave touching me, though he seems fair. My father and mother well in the country, and at this time the young ladies of Hinchingbrook with them, their house having the smallpox in it. The Queen, after a long and sore sickness, is become well again, and the King minds his mistresses a little too much, as if it pleased God. But I hope all things will go well, and in the Navy particularly, wherein I shall do my duty, whatever comes of it. The great talk is the designs of the King of France, whether against the Pope or King of Spain nobody knows, but a great and a most promising prince he is, and all the princes of Europe have their eye upon him. My wife's brother come to great unhappiness by the ill disposition, my wife says, of his wife and her poverty, which he now professes, after all her husband's pretence of a great portion. But I see none of them, at least they come not to trouble me. At present I am concerned for my cousin Andrew of Cambridge, lately broke in his trade, and this day am sending his son John, a very rogue, to see. My brother Tom I know not what to think of, for I cannot hear whether he minds his business or no. And my brother John, at Cambridge, with as little hopes of doing good there. For when he was here he did give me great cause of dissatisfaction with his manner of life. Paul, with my father, and God knows what she doth there, or what will become of her, for I have not anything yet to spare her, and she grows now old, and must be disposed of one way or other. The Duchess of York at this time sick of the measles, but is growing well again. The Turks very far entered into Germany, and all that part of the world at a loss what to expect from his proceedings. Myself, blessed be God, in a good way, and design and resolution of sticking to my business to get a little money, with doing the best service I can to the King also, which God continue. So ends the old year. Appendix, 2 medical prescriptions. Recipe, Sem millet, 2 drams. Manna calab, 3 ounces. Salis prunel, 1 dram. Dr. Clark. Boil the seeds at 2 quarters of posset drink to 3 pints. Then dissolve the manna and salt and strain it. Drink it at 3 or 4 draughts in 30 minutes. Balsam of sulphur, 3 or 4 drops in a spoonful of the syrup of coltsfoot, not eating or drinking 2 hours before or after. The making of this balsam. 2/3 of fine oil and 1/3 of fine brimstone. Set 13 or 14 hours upon the fire, simpering till a thick stuff lies at the bottom and the balsam at the top. Take this often. Sir Robert Parkhurst for the colic.